Diptych, written by Seven Kepri Beatles, read by Opal Song. Fandom, Star Wars. Rating, teen. Relationships, Barriss Offee and Luminara Unduli. Luminara Unduli, original female character. Also tagged for Mirialan culture and customs, world building, intimacy, and tattoos. Part 2 of Seven's Star Wars Lesbification Agenda. Recorded for Lattice Frames for ITPE 2022. Stepping into the temple again for the first time in almost half a year was startling. As a youngling, before the demands of her master's chosen path of sentinel, and, more specifically, shadow, had taken her far afield for large swaths of time, often to the reaches of the outer rim, occasionally verging into wild space, the temple had been a place for her to ground herself in the pulse of the thousands of Force presences within its bounds at any given time, often allowing her to calm herself down from even the most disconcerting flashes of emotion provided by the Force. It was, she suspected, a large reason why younglings were kept in the temple for so long, to allow those with particularly strong empathic or foresight abilities to have a slightly more cushioned upbringing, surrounded by the comfort of bright presences and the knowledge that none meant them harm. Now, the temple felt barren. Her footsteps and Barriss's beside her seemed to echo rather than being lost to the quiet din of so many others inhabiting the same space. She had known that the war was stretching them thin, but this was so much worse than she had expected. In some ways, it was almost as bad as Geonosis, the sheer absence nearly as painful as the sudden extinguishing of life forces around her. She drew in a steady breath and glanced at Barriss. The girl was getting good at her sabacc face, and her step hardly shuddered, but she was still barely 16, and Luminara had had 4 years to learn every tell, every whisper of discomfort that threaded across their bond. And now, looking at her, she read the edge, the wrong-footedness, in every slightly jerky movement of her head, every minuscule twitch of her fingers, kept carefully out of clenching. Still, she said nothing. Their relationship wasn't one predicated on prying, but rather on a quiet, mutual respect, waiting for the other to come to them with their worries, once they had meditated on them, should they decide they needed someone to voice their concerns to. Instead, she drifted marginally closer, a shallow diagonal path as they wound through the hallways until the hems of their robes were brushing. When they reached their quarters, unused in a far longer stretch than they had since a disastrous mission to a minor agricultural planet had had them gone for several months, Luminara paused, hand hovering over the keypad. Padawan, she said. I will not be joining you for late meal tonight. Barris tilted her head, inquiry clear in the line of her shoulders. Her dark eyes seemed to take in every inch of Luminara, like she was afraid it was the last time she would see her. Luminara hardly blamed her. Their campaign had been less than ideal, if one could call anything about this thrice-damned war ideal. Some of her irritation must have bled through, because she felt a brush of reassurance against her mind. Quickly, she drew her shields around her, but offered Barris a smile and thanks. I have personal matters to attend to, she said. Certain events of late bear memorialization. Ah, said Barris, and Luminara knew she understood. They never spoke bluntly, but years in each other's orbits had made them both intimately familiar with the meanings behind less than transparent phrasing. Barris smiled, the first Luminara had seen in months, and though it was small and tired and slightly pained, weighed with grief and regret, it was genuine. Then I wish you a faith-guided path. It was the traditional send-off for those on their way to receive new tattoos, and it was not something either of them had learned from their parents, as was tradition. Barris had learned them from her, and she from her master, and she in turn from her master, and so stretching back as far as the treaty with Miriel, that had ordained that all Mirielan Jedi would be trained only by those of their own. Luminara dipped her head, the fabric of her headdress rustling slightly with the motion. Thank you, Barris, she said, and then, get some rest. It was something she needed sorely, a combination of teenage sleep requirements being greater and the way their latest campaign had run the both of them, but especially Barris, who had been separated from her for over a month, forced to try and lead her squad of men on her own, as they were bombarded by enemy fire at sudden, unwarned intervals. Ragged. As evidenced by the darkening pine bruises beneath her eyes. In that moment, Luminara suddenly wished that she could go inside with her, coax her head into her lap, and sing soft Mirielan lullabies to her until she fell into a peaceful sleep. But Luminara held to her obligations and faith, and she knew Barris did as well. To shatter that would be akin to amputating a part of herself. And besides, Barris was old enough now that she shied away, half gangling and embarrassed, from such things at an increasing rate. Luminara's only solace in the matter was that she had experienced something similar, and knew that, in time, it would pass. She keyed the code into the pad, pushing the door open, and held it for Barris, watching her step inside, back turning to her, the deep, almost black, lustrous blue of her robes hiding her in the shadows for a moment, before the lights automatically flicked on, bathing her in the pale light. Luminara watched her for a moment, and then, when she turned, opening the door to her own room and disappearing inside, turned, pulling the door closed behind her, and heading down the halls. Her destination was a well-memorized one by now, the path familiar as the grip of her own lightsaber, fitting beneath the soft tap of her boots, like water into the path it carved through rock. 2 levels down and 528 paces to the southwest, the force slowly wrapping around her as she drew closer, anticipation thick in the air. It was like this every time, and had been since the first she had sought the other out, when her master had died. She turned down the final hall, lit by the soft glow of light sconces set into the wall, a slightly flickering gold that imitated ancient candles. It was where many archival staff resided, when they weren't in the field retrieving artifacts or wrangling the 1,000-odd requests made per day for access to materials. Raising a hand, she knocked on the door, pressing a tendril of the force outwards, seeking the familiar presence inside. Rewarded when one brushed against her in return, surprise, joy, and understanding wrapped in one. "One moment," her friend's voice called from inside, raspy as it had been since she sustained an injury in the field to her throat so many years ago. To others, it might be off-putting, but it just made Luminara smile and relax minutely. A second later, the door slid open, revealing the familiar lavender face of her friend, asymmetrical tattoos highlighting the sharpness of her facial structure, a few flyaway strands of deep black hair peeking out from the edges of her red head covering, wrapped around her head and secured just above her left temple, with an elaborate knot reminiscent of a many-petaled flower. "Luminara Unduli," she greeted. "You come in faith?"
"Ora, serara,"
Luminara returned.
"I come in faith and ask your hand to guide me."
The traditional greeting, one that had passed between them many a time, rolled off her tongue easily. She smiled and leaned forward, the two of them pressing chaste kisses to each other's cheeks. Also a traditional greeting, but one between those intimately close with each other, as they had been for decades. When they drew back, Orak nodded, shifting to the side.
"Come in," she said. "The Force called me to prepare this morning, though I wasn't sure if what it promised would come to pass."
She gestured to the plush armchair that had been drawn from the corner of the room it usually occupied to the center, a smaller Duraplast stool slightly offset before it. Luminara settled into it, taking a moment to sink into the Force and let the hundreds of hours of emotions wash over her. Joy, grief, oneness. They had spent many a night in this very chair, pressed together to fit into it, laughing and crying and simply existing in each other's presence. Orak pressed the hidden latch beneath the right arm, extending the table hidden inside, then fetched her implements from the counter, setting them onto the table. A thin needle with a handle made from driftwood from one of Muriel's great lakes, a jar of midnight black ink, gloves, and disinfectant materials.
"What does your faith demand of us today?"
she asked, ritual and genuine curiosity mingling together. Luminara watched her wipe the needle down with one of the white swabs, and then pull on the dark, single-use gloves.
"Two diamonds," she replied. "One of grief and regret, and one of pride and joy."
"Ah,"
Orak hummed, leaning forward to swab the disinfectant across Luminara's chin, the sharp medical scent at odds with the cozy atmosphere of the room. It reminded her painfully of the first and only time Master Sakesh had inked faith beneath her skin.
"A diptych, then."
Luminara didn't reply, instead closing her eyes and letting the other tilt her head up. Her fingers, even through the rubbery material of the gloves, were warm and sure as always. She lowered the ironclad barriers surrounding her mind, letting herself slip deeply into the Force and Orak's presence. The other laughed, soft and slightly hoarse.
"Ah," she sighed. "I had missed that. What a blessing that faith should bring the two of us within each other."
"What a blessing that faith should lead us to choose each other,"
Luminara replied quietly, doing her best not to move too much as she shaped the syllables. It was a familiar greeting between the two of them, worn like a river stone.
They had never been ones for grand gestures or blatant overtures. But this, quiet and intimate, predicated on trust and tradition, suited them. The needle sank beneath Luminara's skin, a quick pinprick, there and gone, and then again. She could feel the other's concentration in the press of her fingers against her skin, the single-minded focus as her force presence narrowed to a single point, guiding the needle across her chin. Luminara breathed in and breathed out, welcomed the pain and tempered it with memories of duty and truth and trust. "You lost men," Orak said, finally, as she reached the end of the first diamond, hands shifting to tilt Luminara's head for the second. "Up until now, you managed to keep your casualties to a minimum, but many died during your last battle." Luminara waited until the needle paused, signaling the end of the first half. The ink seemed to burn beneath her skin, making palpable the emotional pain. "Yes," she murmured, "and I must remember them, lest I grow to forget the lives I am responsible for, and the brilliant individuals who put their lives on the line every day beside me." Her eyes had drifted open slightly, and she watched Orak dip the needle into the jar, hands drawn away from Luminara, the ghost of her touch aching. When she settled back, leaning forward so she could reach Luminara once again, she peered at her for a moment.
"It is strange so many think of us as emotionless," she said, "when, perhaps, we wear ours more clearly than most others."
Luminara laughed. She couldn't help it. "Quite literally on our skin," she agreed. "Perhaps it is the reputation garnered of our origin. On a planet of snow and ice, they think we must be similarly frigid." Orak hummed and pressed the needle to her skin once more, starting on the second diamond. The pain this time was less sharp-edged and more like the soft whisper of a blade beneath the ribs, only hurting as it was removed.
"And the second, Barriss?" she asked.
Luminara didn't reply, but she knew the other could sense the shift in her force presence. Miri Allen's, like many others, were more attuned to the press and sway of the emotions of their own. It didn't much matter, usually, when there were so few of them at the temple. There remained only 3 lines of the paltry 10 that had been established with the Treaty of Miriel. Her own. That of a wandering Jedi master who hadn't been seen since she was in the crash, and Orak's. It made the instinctual understanding that passed between them feel almost sacred. The needle dipped in and out of her skin, and it was a long time before Orak spoke.
"She advanced from junior Padawan to fully fledged," she murmured,
leaning away for a beat to dip the needle in the ink once more.
"Also, a result of the last battle. You were separated?"
"Yes," Luminara said, and knew the other could feel the residual fear and worry that the event had incited.
"She protected and led the men with her honorably and with compassion,"
Orak concluded, and Luminara could feel her smile. Fond and proud as her own had been, when she and Barriss had finally reunited.
"A statement to her maturation."
The needle pulled away, and it was done. "It's people like you who make the public think Jedi can read minds," Luminara said, lips twitching, and reached for the small box of Bacta-soaked cloths. Orak let her, setting down the needle and pulling off her gloves, dropping them next to it and screwing the lid of the jar of black ink on. Luminara drew the cloth gently across her skin, waiting for the other to speak.
"It's less mind-reading and more knowing you as well as my own mind," she said finally,
and offered Luminara a hand. Luminara folded the cloth up and set it down, taking her hand. Their skin slid together, her own calluses rasping against Orak's. Born of different circumstances, but still the same, her own green skin paling against the black that bled down her friend's fingers. Gently, she pulled Luminara in, leaning down slightly to press her lips against hers, gentle and sure. Luminara kissed her back, slowly re-erecting the walls in her mind, slipping her hand up until her wrist pressed against Orak's, pulse point to pulse point. In response, Orak's other hand pressed against the small of her back, their kiss deepening for a brief second before they split apart. "Careful," Luminara said, teasing. "You might imply something untoward." Orak laughed, rasping and amused. "How scandalous," she said. "Now get back to your Padawan before you fall over." Luminara hummed. They stood in each other's orbits for a moment, reveling in the press of skin and warmth. And then Luminara said, "Thank you for guiding my faith."
"Your trust honors me,"
Orak replied. And then they stepped apart, fingers trailing along each other for a moment before they separated.
"Blessed sleep, Luminara."
"And for you, Orak," Luminara replied, and slipped out the door, skin aching pleasantly. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening.